Family Camp. So we're in Isaiah 49 this evening as we continue our journey through Isaiah. So let's turn there, chapter 49, where God is encouraging His people, starting in verse 13, where we finished last week in Isaiah chapter 49. The Bible says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my God hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." So that's my title tonight, "Yet Will I Not Forget Thee." Let's pray. Lord, I pray You'd use Your word in our hearts this evening. Thank You so much for the privilege to come here on a Sunday night, open Your word, hear from You. We pray the Holy Ghost would take Your powerful word and use it in our lives tonight. We just want to be pleasing unto Thee, Lord. We want the service to be pleasing unto Thee, so we give it all to You. We want You to be glorified in it, Lord, and that we would leave changed tonight. We love You. We pray all this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So God here is reminding His people that no matter what they go through, and most of it was, of course, their own doing because of their own sin, that He would never forget them. And we can take encouragement from this tonight because we are His people. And we will go through some trials, and we also might go through some chastisement for disobedience. But no matter what we go through, God will never, ever forget us. And that's a blessing for us to have that confidence. Now, He starts there in verse 13 by saying the heavens need to be singing about this, that this is God's nature, that God is a blessing to His people no matter what they go through. He will never forget them. He says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break into singing, O mountains." God is talking about His own creation. He says that His own creation glorifies Him, which we know that to be true. Most of us know Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." We can look around at the creation and see that God is a great God, that He's a powerful God, and that He's a loving God. The Bible says in Psalm 96:11, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof." And so God is essentially encouraging His people with His nature, that He's a God that never forgets His people, and He's a God of mercy. Notice it says in verse 13, "For the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted." That word afflicted is important. But, you know, we as God's children, we're going to face afflictions. And who is there to comfort us but God Himself? Let's look at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if we could. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, very important passage about the comfort of God. Because if you're saved, you're going to go through some afflictions. That's a guarantee. Some more than others. All different types. We can't predict when or how many or how long they'll be, but we know we're going to have them. Because God uses them in our lives. God allows them. But God also promises that He'll be the one that comforts us when they come. And that's what He's saying to Israel. "My people which are afflicted, I will comfort you." Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." So God here is referring to Himself as the God of all comfort. Look at verse 4. "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So we find out in this passage that God is not only the one that comforts us when we go through afflictions, but then we get this secondary benefit of being able to comfort others who go through the same afflictions later. Part of what we talked about this morning, being a blessing and encouragement to one another. And so God promises to be that God that comforts. Matter of fact, that's one of the names of the Holy Ghost who indwells us when we're saved, is it not? He's referred to as the Comforter. He is there. He's within us, ready to comfort us when the afflictions come. And they will come. Many of the afflictions of the righteous. And they were, you know, when Isaiah wrote this, Israel was in the midst of major afflictions. Now again, most of them were their own doing. They were reaping what they sowed. But God promised that He would be the God that would comfort in the midst of affliction, that He would be a merciful God. And notice it says in verse 14, "But Zion said," this is Israel, "the Lord hath forsaken me, and my God hath forgotten me." This is the temptation to think this when you are in the midst of a big affliction or a hard or tough affliction, to think that God has forgotten, to think that God has forsaken, to think that God doesn't care. That's one of the big tricks of the devil. Job went through this. If you go to Job chapter 13, we'll see. I mean, Job suffered, it looks like, more than any other man outside of Christ. And he was human like the rest of us. And in the midst of his suffering, yes, he trusted the Lord, like we know. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." He believed that he would come forth as gold, but he still struggled with the suffering. He lost his children, he lost his health, he lost his living. Notice chapter 13, verse 24, "Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy?" Job is crying out to God and saying, essentially, "Where are you, Lord?" David went through this. If you go to Psalm 13, David had a similar response here to suffering, to affliction. And so this is nothing new. And let's face it, the world definitely goes through this. The unsaved, how many people out there are mad at God for something that's happened in their life, maybe the loss of a loved one? And they essentially are saying, "God doesn't care. God has forgotten about me." But when Christians think this, it's an insult to God. Notice Psalm 13, verse 1. "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever?" This is David. "Lord, how long are you going to forget me? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say I prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I'm moved." David's crying out to God and said, "Lord, how long are you going to..." God never did forget him. He's pouring out his heart and being honest, but we shouldn't get to this point where we're saying like Israel, "The Lord hath forsaken me, the God hath forgotten me," because he never does. Now, thankfully, David got it, because verse 5, it all turns around. "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." So David got his heart right and realized that God doesn't forget us, no matter what. And then another one, Psalm 77, again, from David's life. I just want to show you these examples. That this is nothing new. Zion was saying here, "The Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me." He doesn't. Don't allow the devil to say that whisper that in your ear and say, "God doesn't care, God isn't listening, God has forgotten about my problems." He hasn't. Psalm 77, verse 7, David says, "Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten the gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" This is David. Look at the questions he's asking. Now again, David, because he was writing in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because he was a man after God's own heart, he got it sorted later. He says, verse 10, "This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate of all thy work and talk of thy doings." David got his heart right. But he went through this same thing. The Lord's forgotten. The Lord is forsaken. God never does. If we're his children, that'll never happen. And that should be a great encouragement to us. It should have been a great encouragement to Israel. But they weren't listening. They weren't walking the will of God at the time. And they just kept walking further and further from God until finally he had to come and take them away from their land, as we know. So go back to our passage here in Isaiah 49, where the Lord is referring to the fact that he is the comforter, that he's the one that shows mercy on his afflicted. Sometimes the devil whispers in our ear and says, "God's forsaken and forgotten." He never does. But then God, verse 15, gives the final word. He said, "Can a woman forget a suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" And we would immediately read that question and say, well, that's impossible. But we know it's not impossible. We've all heard stories of women who somehow, I don't know what word to use, but quench or sear that motherly instinct to the point that they don't care about their children anymore. And we hear stories. It's rare, but it happens. Well, God made us. He knows. And He says, yea, they may forget. He says, it's possible for a mother, even a mother, to forget her own child. It's possible, God says, yes. He says, yet will I not forget thee. He says it's possible for man to fall into this trap, but God never will. God will never, ever, ever forget His children. Let's go to Isaiah 44, please, verse 21. I just want to encourage you with some scriptures on this tonight. That no matter what we go through, no matter how hard it is, no matter how long it is, no matter how impossible it seems, God never forgets us. Isaiah 44:21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. So that's Israel. That's who God's primarily writing to here tonight. But what about us? Well, we're God's children. We're not His chosen people in the flesh, but we are His children. And we are born again Christians, and God has promised that He will never, ever forget or forsake us. And that should be a great encouragement. So let's look at some scriptures on that. John chapter 6 to start with, where God promises, as He promised His children Israel, that He will never forget us. Say, well, how far can we go? How far can we go away from God? Only God knows the answer to that question. But I'll tell you this. God has the world at His disposal for our chastisement if we choose to continue to try to run away from Him. I mean, He had a whale for Jonah. And if we do continue to run to the point where we just refuse to listen, God has His ultimate chastisement tool, which is death. Right? Deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. We could even get to that point. So I say this to people sometimes and say, oh, I've just gone too far. If you're still alive, you haven't gone too far. God's not finished. But there may still be some pain on the horizon. But God will never forget. Notice John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. God will never forget us. You know what, though? He's forgotten our sins. Amen. Amen? Now that's a blessing. The Bible tells us He will never remember our sins. They're as far as the east is from the west. They're behind His back. They're in the depths of the sea. They're gone. They're forgotten. But He's promised He will never forget us. And look at John 10 while we're in John. We'll look at another passage that our God promises to never forget His children. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I've given them eternal life. They shall never perish. Never means never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Never perish. Can't happen. John 5:24 says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. We can never be condemned. Let's look at another one. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Paul encouraging us as God's children that we cannot be separated from the love of God. It's impossible. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he gives a very long list, which I won't read. But then he says in verse 38, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God will never forget us. God will never forsake us. And we can never be separated from His love if we're in His love through salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus promised, as we know, and right after He gave the Great Commission, Matthew 28, He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." He tells us in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." These are God's promises to His children that we are safe and secure with Him. We cannot be forgotten. We cannot be forsaken. Can we go through pain? Absolutely. Might we face some chastisement if we choose to disobey? Yes, definitely. God promised chastisement to His children in Hebrews chapter 12. But chastisement isn't forgetting. Chastisement's in love. Because God wants what's best for us. Just a couple more. Philippians 1, 6 this time. And then 2 Timothy 1. So Philippians 1, 6. The Bible says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. Whatever God started in us the day we were saved, He says He will finish it. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. And then 2 Timothy 1:12. I believe this is one of the hymns that we sing. Yep. 2 Timothy 1:12. "For the which cause I also suffer the things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe and persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." God will keep it. We're told in Jude 1 that we're preserved in Jesus Christ. And so it was Zion that said in this passage, "The Lord hath forsaken me. My God hath forgotten me." Zion, Israel, God's children, God's chosen people said, "God has forgotten us." They were going through intense suffering. They were being attacked by heathen nations and losing battles. And they said, "God has forgotten." And God sent Isaiah, His prophet, to say, "No, I have not forgotten. Yes, you're reaping what you sowed. Yes, you're going through some intense suffering and afflictions right now. You need them." And by the way, they're not over 2,500 years later. But He still hasn't forgotten all the promises that He gave to His people in the Old Testament that haven't been fulfilled will be fulfilled. He's never forgotten. He will never forsake them. He will never forget us, and He will never forsake us. It doesn't matter what. The devil can't change that. And that should give us confidence. That should give us a foundation that we can stand on to go forward and serve Jesus Christ, knowing that there's nothing that can happen that can ever take us away from God and His love. Think how blessed we are to be able to say that. How secure we are in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God said to Israel, "I will never forget thee." God says the same to us as His children. He will never forget us. So if you've been tempted by the devil to believe maybe he has forgotten, or maybe he's kind of put you on the shelf for a while and isn't really thinking about you, that's a lie from the devil. God loves you. God's going to do what's best for you, no matter what that might be. If it's afflictions for your refinement, so be it. That's from God. If it's afflictions for your chastisement, that's from God. But He will never forget, and He will never forsake. He has a plan. He's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. One day we'll be with Him. He's just working on us between now and then, trying to make us more like our Savior. So what a blessing to know, as He told His people Israel, "I will never, ever forget thee." He promises us the same thing. Hallelujah. Let's pray.